praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, musicians. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful that I know the Lord. Not just know Him, but know that He is awesome. Just like that song we was just singing. I mean, He is awesome in this place. He's here and He's in this place and He's awesome. But Brother Lance, I'm thankful that He's not just awesome just here at church. When I leave and He goes with me, Pastor, he's awesome everywhere we're at. Wherever we go, we can find this awesome God to be faithful and to meet with us. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 25. Praise the Lord. Well, I was wondering, just, I don't know, either today or yesterday, I was wondering when Mr. Rogers was going to show up. And lo and behold, he's here tonight. Praise God. Brother Ellison's got him one too. They're working on me, but I don't think it's going to happen. I'll just put on the jacket that goes with these pants if I need something else. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 25, and I want to look at the first 13 verses here in this scripture here. Pretty much a familiar passage to a lot of us, and I feel like the Lord's given us something tonight that wants to really help us and speak to our hearts through His Word here, if we'll just allow Him to. Matthew 25, starting at verse 1, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil, I say oil, if you hear that, you know the difference there, took the oil, and but did not take any extra. And while the bridegroom tarried, let me start at verse 3, "And the foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels and with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered and said, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom cometh, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh." I want to preach from this passage of Scripture here, and I want to preach on a thought: when good isn't good enough. When good isn't good enough. I want you to think about that. When good isn't good enough. A lot of people are dependent on just being good, but it ain't always going to work out that way. Brother Maurer, would you pray? Amen. You can be seated. By being good, it does not make everything, it doesn't mean that everything's just going to work out by being good. By being good, it does not make you a Christian. By being good, it does not make you foolish. By being good, it does not make you wise. And by being good, it does not make you good enough. And you know, church, there's a lot of people, as I just said, that are depending on that very thing. Well, I'm a good person. I mean, if you ever done any of the Ray Comfort stuff and gone out and witnessed or seen any of that stuff, there's people that are depending. I mean, you don't even have to use that, but there's people, they're depending on just the satisfaction of, well, I'm a good person. That they're going to make it to heaven, that they're going to be in right standing with God because they're a good person. And you know what? There's a lot of people that are good people, but it don't mean they're going to be in right standing with the Lord. There's a lot of people that they don't cuss, they don't lie, they don't cheat, they don't fornicate, they don't do any of those kind of things. I mean, they seem, if you was to meet them, man, some of them even dress right, but yet they're not Christians. I mean, I remember when I was younger, a bunch of us went to an ice skating rink, and we were skating around, and there was a girl skating around, had on a dress, besides the people that we were with. And I thought, oh man, you know, she may be, you know, the same faith we are, you know, believe like we do and stuff. And I thought, well, you know, so there's a couple guys, and one of us, it wasn't me, but somebody got somebody else to go over there and ask this girl, hey, are you a Christian? Well, no, why? Well, we thought, you know, well, and they went ahead and told her, well, you know, you're wearing a skirt. Most ladies, if they're ice skating, don't usually go wearing skirts a lot of times. Some of them, you know, they do and they don't. But, you know, a lot of times it's a Christian that, you know, believes that you ought to wear a skirt. And well, no, I'm not one. So there's people that do certain things, but it don't mean that they're a Christian. It don't mean that they have, just because they have a lifestyle, don't mean that they're right with God. And, you know, being a good person sometimes has its benefits. You know, when you was a child, you know, you would get rewarded for being good. Maybe when you was in school, or maybe when you was in Sunday school. You know, there's been times where our kids come home, Brother Cervantes, I don't know if it's they were bad or you just being a mean teacher, you and your wife, but they didn't get candy. Brother Harris, you know. Well, it's not because they're a mean teacher, it's because our kids wasn't good. And you know, but there's times where, you know, I don't know which insurance it is, but there's some insurance that's out there right now that, you know, they'll give you a good driving discount for not having any tickets, never having a wreck, which a lot of places do that. But, I mean, even if you've had some problems in the past, up to a certain amount of years, they'll give you a good driving discount. I mean, there's one that I was checking around here a while back on some insurance, seeing if I could find anything cheaper. And one of them said, well, you sign up with us, you get a ticket or even a wreck, we won't raise your insurance on the first one. I thought, well, you know, that's pretty good. That's pretty good, but I'm not planning on having a wreck. I'm not planning on getting a ticket. So I stayed where I was at because I knew eventually they're gonna find a way of raising the cost. But it was an incentive for being a good driver. You can get good grades for being a good student. So there's incentives for being a good person and doing a good job at things. You can even get out of jail early for being a good person. They'll lower your sentence. Now, I don't know that from experience, but that's what I hear. They go in there and, you know, they do good, and they get in a fight. They don't just say, well, you know, they don't just, you know, well, here's an extra 100 days because you got in a fight, you know, and sentence them because of it. I mean, they punish them, but it ain't like they go up there and stab somebody while they're in there and, you know, then they committed a major crime. But if they do good, they'll get out. They even lower their sentence for those guys for good behavior. But, you know, it doesn't all have, you know, just for being good don't mean that you're going to make it into heaven, though. I know I'm repeating myself, and I understand that. What happens when good isn't good enough, though? Where do we find ourselves when being a good person isn't good enough? I mean, Brother Piper, you're a good man. You come here every Sunday morning, you drive the bus, you've been doing it for years, and that's good, but it isn't good enough. I mean, Brother Ron comes here early and gets some music going for anybody that wants to come in here and pray. And he's faithful to run the sound. And I mean, he does an excellent job at it, but he doesn't do it, you know, as good a job as he does, it isn't good enough. You that's here on a Wednesday night, praise God. Glad some of the snow melted, somebody else may have stayed at home. But hey, you're here on a Wednesday night. You're top notch. You're the faithful. But it isn't good enough. It isn't good enough. Good people can be well-meaning people, but some of it's just not good enough. And sometimes being good doesn't get the job done. You think about these ten virgins. They were ten virgins. They had never known a man. They had never been married. They didn't know anything about that kind of stuff. They had lived I don't want to necessarily say a godly life, but they had kept themselves pure and clean and holy. I mean, that's a good, Sister David, there are 10 good ladies there. They're good people because they've kept themselves. I mean, if we pulled in 10 people off the street that we didn't know anything about and we found out that they were all 10 virgins, they was telling the truth. I mean, that would be commendable. And it'd be something worth commending. I mean, certainly we have young ladies here at our church that are still virgins, and they need to be commended. They need to be told by other elder ladies in the church, by ladies in the church, I'll stress that, hey, that we're proud of you. You know, you're not flaunting yourself. You're not showing off your body. You're not doing these kind of things. And you know what? Keep that up. Now, there's some, I'm not saying here, but there's some times where girls, they get out there. They start doing things. You know what they need? They need a godly mom or a godly woman that knows what she's talking about, not just somebody that thinks they come up and say, you know what, that's not good what you're doing. You need to watch yourself. You're getting caught up in some things. And you know, these ladies, though, just because they were 10 virgins, just because they had never been with a man, and that's a good thing, but you realize that it wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough. And as much and as proud as a youth pastor as I can be, as the young people we have here, I mean, I don't have to worry about our young people going off and doing things. I mean, I don't put the guard down. I don't say, well, hey, because y'all's never tried me. Y'all never done anything. Why don't y'all go over there and hang out in the bus barn by yourselves? No, I'm not stupid. And I'm going to open up the door for temptation. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we still have to hold our guards up. We still have to watch out and not just, you know, whatever you want to do that. Because that's when trouble comes in. But understand what I'm saying is these 10 virgins, they had done right. They had done good. They had done everything that they knew to do. They had possibly been trained. They had possibly been brought up in church. I don't know. At least in a good family. But nevertheless, it wasn't good enough because they were still missing something that was more important than being and living a pure life. Now, I just got through stressing how important I think it is for not just a young lady, but and a young man to live right and to keep themselves pure, not until they're engaged, all the way until they're married. And they ought not to be touching and kissing and doing nothing because they're going to wind up not being a virgin if they get carried away. And it very well can happen, especially in the day and age we're in now with the peer pressures that we have. But let me tell you something. These 10 virgins right here in the Word of God, as much and as commendable as that is, they miss something more important than just being pure and living a holy life. He said, "But Armstrong, what are you talking about? What, you know?" Well, the Bible says that there is 10 of them, but it also said that there was 5 that was foolish. There was 5 of them that was foolish, and the reason why they were foolish is because they didn't get a hold of what the other 5 got a hold of. Look back in our text with me, back in Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, it mentions, and 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They were foolish. The foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. And the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And I say, Brother Armstrong, how does that make them, how is that, you know, more important than them being pure, clean, and holy? Well, because they're missing some very important things. And that's what I want to show us. I want to show you 3 foolish things that took place in the 5 foolish lives. And I was going to preach about more than that. There's probably going to be a second part to this. I don't know when, but there was more here than what I felt like I could give tonight. But first, I want us to look at the first foolish thing that took place was those 5 foolish virgins thought that everything would be okay because, well, they thought the oil would last. Hey, I filled up the thing today, this morning. It'll last me. You know, have you ever filled up your car? And, you know, it was filled up and you drove it and you drove it and it, all of a sudden the light come on. And then, you know, you drove it some more and you went and filled it up. And, you know, you run it down there on E. Has anybody run their car on E? I mean, especially now with the gas prices. Well, I had a car one time that I'd run it down on E and the light would come on. I knew about approximately how long I could go. I don't want to say how far because I didn't. I just, well, you know, I need to put it. So it's kind of that feeling, you know, I need to put gas in. Well, sometimes that feeling didn't come in time. But what was real bad is whenever you had put gas in it and the light would go off. Sister Davis, you'd be driving and the light never did come back on, but the car went off. That happened a few times. Until I got rid of the car, it happened probably two or three different times. But you know, I could have learned my lesson and just pushed in the thing and you know, knew exactly how many miles to go. Every time I put so much fuel in, I have an uncle that his gas gauge quit. He would fill that thing up. He'd push in the odometer and he'd drive it all the way until a certain amount of miles. And then he'd fill it back up, do it all over again. That's the way he kept track. But these ladies here, they thought the oil would last. These five ladies thought that the oil would last and they didn't give it much thought. I don't know that they really thought that they would never ever run out. I seriously doubt that they thought that they would never have to go buy oil again. I don't think they really probably thought that. But they started living that way. I said they started living that way. They started living their life thinking that, hey, everything's okay, that we don't have to watch our lamps anymore. We don't have to make sure, but the oil will never ever last forever. The oil that you come and get filled up with at a service, it's not going to last forever. The touch of God when you come into service on a Sunday morning, whether it be a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, and you come down to the altar or through the worship service and you're praying and seeking the face of God, worshiping the Lord, and I mean just you start crying or whatever happens to you when those things happen, the presence of God is here. When oil comes pouring down upon you, it's not going to last forever. But these ladies thought their oil would. You have to keep going back time and time again to keep the fire burning. The fire will go out every time without oil. And that's what happened with these ladies. I mean, they had set up and they had made camp. They was ready with the other 10 virgins. And I mean, they five were wise, five were foolish. But nobody knew who the five wise and the five foolish was until the next morning. They didn't know who was sitting amongst them. They didn't know who was by them to say, well, you know, just wait until morning. They didn't know. Or at least they don't tell us. And you know how it is. We can be sitting in church and, you know, you don't know who's going through what when you're sitting in church. Because we're private people. We can't dare lift our hand and tell what we're really going through because, well, you know why? Because somebody might really get help. I mean, Brother Streeter, if I was to tell what I was really struggling with or what I was really going through, you know what it might cause? It might cause the saints of God to really pray and me have to leave delivered or set free. That's what would happen. But no, we're too afraid that, well, what is Sister Davis going to think about me? What's Sister Kern going to think about me if I tell that, you know, I'm being tempted this way? Probably going to think, well, bless God, at least I'm not the only one. I mean, think about it. But what happens is we come in and we think, well, you know, I got a touch of God last week. I got some fresh oil last week. You know, I'm okay tonight. I'm okay this morning. But all the meanwhile, the fire is about to go out, just like these foolish ladies were. It is only a matter of time till your fire goes completely out, all due to the fact that you're unwilling to go and get more oil. The oil you need is cheap. It doesn't cost that much at all. But it's a great quality. It's a good quality of oil. It'll do you good. It won't disappoint you. It does take a little time and a little effort from time to time to get what you need. But the end result is worth every bit of time and effort. The question being asked is, how much of the Lord do you have right here and right now? saints? How much of the Lord do we have right here and right now? I mean, Brother Kleiman, do we have as much as we did the last service? Are we as filled up and fresh move of the Spirit of the Lord upon our life that we tonight that we got last Sunday? Sunday night, Sunday morning. I mean, when you come into church on Sunday morning, are you as refreshed and full of the power of God as you were from Wednesday? I mean, are you going to get anything tonight that's going to sustain you until Sunday morning? And are you going to get anything on Sunday morning that's going to sustain you just a few hours, I know, till Sunday night? But the problem is you don't know what you're about to face when you leave these four walls, or eight walls here. You don't know what you're going to face. You don't know what's going to be laying at the foot of your footsteps, and you're going to have to run over, trample over, trip you up, cause you to fall on your face. But yet, there's something that lies here to help you, and it's the Spirit of God. How much oil do you have tonight? Is it enough to make it through the night? Is there enough there to make it through the next big problem? Is it been a while since you came for a fill-up? Are you willing to make it out okay with just a little bit you have? I want you to think about something. I want you to think and ask yourself, what does the end result look like? What does the end result look like? Second thing that the foolish ladies did was they saw no need to prepare. They saw no need to prepare. You know, we just went to Chicago the other day on Wednesday and had Thanksgiving up in Chicago and picked up my mom. She flew in. But you know, it took a little preparation. We stayed the night a couple of nights, Sister Lance. We just didn't go up there with the clothes on our back. No, we prepared. We got our stuff. We even took our own shower stuff, even though they had that stuff in the hotel. We took our own. We prepared. We made preparation. Why? Because that's what you need to do. Yeah. But these folks, these five ladies, they didn't see the need. They didn't see the need to prepare. They didn't see the need to do something. And, you know, there was a chance that they might have to, they knew that there was a chance that they might have to go out rather later than sooner. But they chose not to prepare. I mean, they knew that there was a chance that, you know what? I mean, he could come any moment now. But they also knew it could be a few hours, Brother Patrick, before he shows up. All they knew is they needed to be ready. They needed to be ready to go at any moment, in any hour, and be ready to go meet the bridegroom. We need to prepare for what may come our way. We need to be ready for anything. We are not told beforehand what is going to take place. We are not told. I wasn't told tonight that, you know, just before church that my daughter was going to fall and land on whatever she hit and gash her forehead open and have to go have stitches. I wasn't prepared for that. I wasn't ready for that. I was trying to get prepared for the service tonight. But then nevertheless, I had to stop what I was doing and go attend to my daughter for a little bit and check and make sure she was okay before I could come back. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. Are we going to be prepared, though, for what's going to happen? You say, Brother Armstrong, how could you have been prepared? How can we be prepared if we don't know what's going to happen? Well, we can be prepared if we really want to be. And it's by preparing ourselves around the altar. It's preparing ourselves around the altar. Do you realize these people that are lived for God for years and years and years? I mean, I've only been here a couple of years and there's people that's left and that's backslid. They just didn't leave and move off somewhere. They left because they backslid, lost out with God. There's people that you can think about tonight that should be in here with this, but they backslid. Did it happen overnight? No, what happened was they were never, ever prepared for what was going to come their way. I mean, God sends us warning. God tries to prepare us. God tries to move upon our hearts and help us to be prepared so that we will be ready for whatever comes our way. But a lot of us are like these five foolish virgins. It'll be okay. Too many people go off of feelings and not off the Word of God. I said, too many people go off of their feelings and not off the Word of God. If they were always prayed up, always read up, we could make it through anything that come our way if we were prayed up and read up. I mean, we have an instruction manual right here. A roadmap for our life that tells us how to live and conduct our lives. And you know what? If we'll live by that book and we'll read that book, you know what it's going to do? It's going to lead us in the paths of righteousness, joy, peace, happiness. I mean, it's going to lead us. It's not. Don't mean that you're going to have a rough road. You can't have a rough road. You can. But it's going to help you get through those times. And it's going to help you get through those times on the winning side. It's going to help you get through those things and not throw in the towel and give up whenever the going gets tough. We can be prepared by faithfully to pray. Faithfully to pray through each and every chance that we have. Talking about whenever we come to church, whenever there's an opportunity to come around the altar and pray, to really pray through and really get a hold of God, really pray until we know that we've touched the throne of heaven. If we would go and pray every service like we pray when something is wrong, we would never have to pray the same when something goes wrong. You know how when tragedy happens and things, I mean, man, we call the prayer chain, we call people we know that'll pray, and I'm not even talking about my daughter's gashing her head and had to have a few stitches. If I went home and there was blood all over and her head was, I mean, you know, piece of glass sticking out of her head. I mean, understand what I'm saying. I'm talking about when somebody's having a massive heart attack, or there's life and death. I mean, we really start praying, getting a hold of God. I mean, I prayed for my daughter. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But if we would come around the altar and earnestly pray and seek the face of God the same way we do in those times, what would happen when those times come up?
We could pray differently. And we'd have different turnouts too.
Too many pray the way they feel instead of praying out the way they feel. I said too many people pray the way they feel instead of praying out the way they feel. Think about that.
Yeah, you know, Sister Davis, that, you know, that preaching tonight, you know, it was good. But I didn't really feel like it was for me. You know, I really ain't gotten to go nothing to go pray about because it wasn't for me.
There's a lot of times where I've been to church and I didn't really think that the message was exactly for me. But you know what I did, Brother G.R.? I come on around the altar and I begin to pray and seek the face of God about what was preached anyways. Because it may not have been for me that night. But you know what? Tomorrow may have been the day that it was for me. It may have been on Friday. It may have been on Saturday when I had been out of church for a couple of days and I didn't have that fresh oil that I needed from God. But I tell you what, I could call out upon God anyways because I had come around and I'd prayed through and I'd really got a hold of God instead of just thinking, well, you know, I just don't feel like it's for me. They didn't come prepared. They wasn't prepared. They didn't see the need prepared to prepare. I want to ask you, is there a need to prepare right now? Is there plenty of time to do what you got to do? Is there plenty of time for you to prepare whenever you don't have time to prepare? No. I want to ask you a while ago. I want to ask you, what does the end result look like doing it our way? What does the end result look like when we're doing it our way? Thirdly, the third mistake of the foolish virgins was they thought that they could get it from their friends. Our friends will share with us. I want you to think about this here for a little bit. How many times do we depend upon our friends? And it's easy to think about, well, man, I should be able to depend upon my friends. I should be able to call up on them when they're, you know, when I'm in need. And yes, I understand the Bible says to bear you one another's burdens. But we're going a little beyond that. These five foolish virgins thought that if they needed, they could call upon their friends. But their friends did not have enough for both of them. The time had come for them to take responsibility for themselves.
And there's a lot of people that they depend on mom and daddy. They depend on their neighbor. They depend on somebody else in the church. That every time they have a problem, every time there's a crisis, I forgot, they also depend upon pastor. They pick up the phone. They text, I need you to pray. I need you to do this. Why? Because they've never taken responsibility for themselves. They've never got a hold of it for themselves. They've been relying upon their friends time and time again. And yet, they need to realize that, hey, it's time for me to step up. They were told by all of them, to go get your own. To go get your own. You know, have you ever had somebody that, you know, come up to you, maybe a family member kept on asking, hey, could you help me out a little bit here? Could you help me out a little bit there? Anybody ever had somebody do that, regardless of his money or whatever it was? You know, and maybe you helped them once. Better watch it. All it takes is one time, and buddy, they're back. You know, you feed a cat at your house one time outside, he got you a new pet. If you don't believe me, ask my mom. She loves animals, and I hate most of them. Church, there's people that they never get a hold of this. I mean, they stub their toe, they're on their phone. Put it on the prayer chain. Do this. Can you come to the hospital? For that? You're sitting there thinking? This goes on and on. But what's the problem is they're dependent on somebody else. It's not a matter of, hey, let's bear one another's burden. That's not the case. They're no more spiritual than a man in the moon because they've never, ever figured out the fact that, you know what, it's time for me to be a wise version. It's time for me to quit being foolish, and it's time for me to learn how to pray, learn how to get a hold of the horns of the altar and pray until something happens. But too many of us, we're doing fine until, you know, something goes wrong, and then we don't know what to do. But all the meanwhile, while everything's going okay, we're not praying, we're not seeking the face of God, but then when tragedy or something happens, then we're trying to be all spiritual, pray. And the reason why nothing's happening is because we haven't learned how all along. You didn't learn how to get a hold of the oil. You didn't learn how to get a connection with God. You didn't learn how to do what you needed to do whenever tragedy wasn't around. It's time that you get it for yourself. It's time that you get it for yourself. Those five wise virgins, there's something about them. They had learned, I mean, they just didn't learn how to keep themselves pure and holy, but they had learned how to get in tune and how to meet with the bridegroom. They had learned how to make a connection. Those foolish ones, no, they didn't ever learn that. They didn't learn and get a hold of the responsibility. And there's a lot of people that they get a hold of this area. They get a hold of this aspect. They get a hold of this thing about church and about going to church and about doing this right and dressing right or acting right, talking right, what we listen to. They get certain aspects down. And that's the way these foolish ones was. They had something very good, worthwhile down. But they never got a hold of getting this other part down. And that's where a lot of people are, a lot of Christians are. And they're at the very same exact spot that these foolish virgins were at. Not being ready, not being prepared. Thinking that, you know, I could go out here and drive into the oncoming lane or have somebody else drive into oncoming traffic and hit me. Let's say somebody else drove across the line and hit me. They could get out and they would have some reason why it's my fault. You know what I'm saying? I could park my car on the train tracks, or somebody could, and a train could come by and hit them, and people would say, well, it's the train's fault somehow. I mean, that's just crazy. It don't make sense. But that's the way people are. It's always somebody else's fault. Well, no, church, it's time that we realize that there's some things that are our fault. Moms, dads, your kids can only live off your experience so long. And then it's time for you to let them get it for themselves. I mean, you can only hang on to little Johnny for so long, little Susie for so long. It's time that they get a hold of it for themselves. It's time that they get an experience for themselves. And you know what? Sometimes you have to push them out of the nest, kind of like that mama bird does. And let them realize, hey, you know what? You're going to have to make some mistakes. You're going to have to, you know... I listen to Dave Ramsey sometimes, and I'm not promoting Dave Ramsey or anything. I want to use something as an example. He talks about when he was training his kids, he said he would give them money, or they would get money for Christmas or whatever. They had divided up. But he said, you know, they might have $10 to take in their spending thing, the envelope that they have. And he said that he would let them learn, you know, Brother McClyman, that, you know, well, they can go blow it all at one place or, you know, do this. And he said he let them learn the hard way. To go and buy that piece of junk where, man, if you just save up a little bit more, you could buy the better thing over here. But no, they wanted it now and they wanted it then, and so they let them buy it, and they regretted it. I said, well, tried to tell you. But they learned a lesson. And sometimes that's what has to happen. Sometimes that has to happen with our kids. That's what, sometimes that's what has to happen with even moms and dads, to be quite honest. But I tell you that there comes a time where we have to get it for ourselves. And as a youth pastor, moms and dads, your kids need to learn to get it for themselves. And they need a little encouragement. They need some pushing. They need some examples given to them to see what needs to happen. I know some people that was very good in telling their kids what to do, telling their kids how to live, telling their kids how they needed to be faithful to church, all this stuff they was teaching, but their kid wasn't getting a hold of the picture. And they was talking to me one time, and they was asking, and you know, we just don't know what to do. We just don't want to do. And I told them, finally, they said, you know, be honest with us. You know, what do you think? I said, well, I think you just need to start doing it yourselves. I said, actions speak louder than words. And they do. I mean, that's what we would tell our kids, you know. Quit saying you're going to do it and just do it. Sister Crystal, if you'll come back to the piano. As good as a friend may be, they do not always have everything we need. In fact, God actually gets tired of being the last one that you come to. He would really like to be the first one that you come to. And there's a lot of times that we leave him to the very last. The woman with the issue of blood, you know, we kind of like her. We try everything else. We call everybody else. We do everything else. Well, when we've exhausted our money, exhausted everything, doctor and everything else we do, well, hey, why don't we give God a chance? I've called the pastor. I've called this one. I've called that one. And nobody else seems to be able to touch God. Well, I guess I'll try myself. I mean, that's the way it is. And I'll be quite honest. I mean, I ain't got scripture to back it, but that may be why he don't respond to some of us. That's hard to swallow and that's hard to think, but it could be true. Because we're not really coming to him sincerely. We're not coming to him honestly, and we're coming to him as last resort. Last resort. I want to ask you though, what's the end result look like? Again, doing things our way. You might want to stop and see what the end result is, church. For these 10 versions, there was good results for 5 of them. The 5 whys, it was very good end result. But you know, it wasn't good for all of them. Why some went out to buy. Why 5 of them was told, no, go buy it for yourself. And you know, there's a lot of times that we have to go get it for ourselves. But I want you to realize these 5 that went to go get it for themselves, they went, they got it, and they got back. But it was too late. Oh, the bridegroom had already come. They'd already been taken in and the door was closed. And yes, they beat on it. They knocked and let us in. Lord, Lord, open. He said, I know you not. Now, I understand this isn't a real story. This is a story that Jesus told. It was a story.
But he's liking it and wanting us to see that that's what it's going to be like when he comes back to gather the Christians. That we ought to be prepared. We ought to be ready. We ought to not have anything in our life separating us from God. We need to be watching, because we know not neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man is going to come. But church, that's not really the direction I felt led to go. I felt led to go in the direction I've been talking about is, do we have what we need right now? And I'm not talking about salvation. If you're here and you need salvation, that's the most important thing. But I'm talking about when we come into church and we feel the presence of God and we have opportunity to get in and feel the presence of God and pray and seek God. Do we take full advantage of that? Do we take full advantage of it? Because there's coming a day, there's coming an hour, there's coming a time, just like there always has been, that because you didn't come around and gather in and get a hold of God, get you some fresh oil, that whenever you get down to really needing it, it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. I mean, just that quick, my mom called and said, "Hey, you need to get home." I didn't know if my wife had died of a heart attack. I didn't know what happened. I mean, I jumped up and I thought, well, so I called right back and said, what's going on? The baby's hurt. So I thought it was Elijah. It was faith. I didn't have time, Brother Ricky, to come into the altar and pray and seek the face of God. I didn't have time. It was too late. It was too late. Either I had to be prayed up from that hour of prayer sometime in the day, not saying exactly an hour, but I'm saying a time of prayer or from church or from something. And it's a long ways back to Sunday. I mean, I've had to rely on some stuff on Monday, Tuesday, all day today. You ever had to rely upon it? Well, if you haven't, you're missing what's going on when we're preaching. It isn't just for that specific day. You might want to stop and see what the end result is. For the five that were wise, they got to go be with the master, the bridegroom. But for those foolish, they missed a prime opportunity. A missed opportunity. And that's what happens with you and I. When we're not filled up like we need to be, we miss opportunities. I know you've been doing just fine, you say. You may be saying, Brother Armstrong, I really have. I've been doing fine. I've had opportunity after opportunity. But have you? Have you really had opportunity after opportunity? Have they been the ones that you've helped yourself to? Or have they been God-given opportunities? I mean, I can go back there and grab a whole thing of tracks and go pass them all out. And it don't miss. It don't mean that I hit every opportunity God had for me. I may not hit any of them. But hey, I did a great work. God has opportunities. God has something for us. And I could be passing out all these tracks and still be missing the opportunities God had for me. Not talking about just tracks. Talking about in everyday life, whatever opportunity arises. Talking about an opportunity while you're at home or on your job to be praying. And the Spirit of the Lord come by and move upon your life. It can happen. God has been trying to give us different opportunities. But have we been receiving them or have we been missing them? I want us to stand. When good isn't good enough. It isn't good enough just to be a good person. We need that fresh oil. We need to get a hold of God. I want to ask you though, good person, are you wise or are you a foolish person? Tonight, are you a wise person or are you a foolish person? Only you know that. But I want to tell you, it can change tonight. It can change tonight. You know, God had to reach way down for me. And I'm still far from perfect. My mom could tell you story after story. But God had to reach way down. And I've grown up in church practically my entire life. 30 years. But God still had to reach way down. And I was just as lost, Sister Connie. Never doing any of the bad things that we call bad things. Just as lost as you was out in South or North Carolina. I was just as much a sinner on my way to hell as you was. I was just as lost as these five foolish. But God reached down, as our sister was singing a while ago. I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we ask you to deal with our hearts. Speak to our hearts. Lord, this very moment as we're about together in these altars to pray, God, speak to us. Show us our need of you. God, show us, Lord. Lord, whether we've been wise or whether we've been foolish, Lord. God, I don't think any of us tries to be foolish. But God, we take for granted a lot of times. And God, I'm asking you to speak to us so. Wherever we're at, Lord, help us to realize that we are missing opportunities, Lord. And being good isn't good enough tonight. Thank you, Jesus. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're here tonight. And you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'm not asking if you've been baptized, taken communion, or prayed at a church. I'm asking, do you really have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That's the most important thing here tonight. And if you don't, you can have that before you leave. And I want to give you an opportunity if you want us to pray with you. If you want to get saved, to be born again, ask Jesus to come to your heart and forgive you of your sins. Why don't you just slip up your hand and put it right back down? No one's looking around. You need Jesus tonight. You want to make a fresh start. You want a change in your life. This is the time to do it, right here, right now. Is there one here? In the name of Jesus. How about it? The Lord's dealing with you. You want to make some changes? Anybody at all? Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right. I want to invite us all to come around, gather in, find a place to pray. If you're a visitor, you're welcome to come pray. Let's seek the Lord tonight.